do what you don't want her to do. Those are the two things. I like to do both, you know, because that makes my life a lot easier. But that's basically the idea in your head. That's what you have to think of the whole time you're interacting with anybody. Anytime you want them to do anything, if you make it easier for them to do what you want and make it harder for them to do what you don't want, then they will almost always go toward what you want. Almost always. So that's what this whole thing's about, really, you know, as far as influence goes, which I think that you're probably going to really dig because it just seems to be like it might be your style, you know, of being able to, like, you know?
Manipulate.
No, I mean, everything's manipulation. Change is manipulation. You know, it's just a matter of whether or not you're willing to take them someplace, you know? But being able to almost mind control, you know, would probably be your gig. You know, don't have any negative associations with it.
I don't.
Again, you know,
there's a positive side to it. I just take them on a wonderful journey.
You are, yeah, absolutely. If that helps you get to where it helps you do it, then that think like that, you know? At the end of the day, you have to be able to do whatever it is. You know, you have to be able to do it. You have to practice it until you're good at it. Then you can stop if you want to, but get good at it first, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so continue.
Yeah, that was about it. I just didn't have much
okay.
more to add to that.
Okay.
Alberta.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh, wait. I'm an insomniac. I didn't get to sleep till 5:30.
Oh my goodness. Even after yesterday?
Yeah, now, if you're recording this...
Yeah, you want to go kill yourself for a bit?
I think even though I'll lose some time now...
That's okay.
In terms of investing the whole weekend.
Yeah, it might be a good move.
I think...
You want to come back after lunch or something?
That, I think, yeah. And Ivan, maybe you could catch me up with the essentials. Would that be cool?
Yeah, totally. Because otherwise you're just going to be a zombie here the whole time.
I've been trying, and yeah, I'm a zombie.
I can't believe you stayed up. Then again, I can.
I've been to a sleep study and the whole thing. And yeah, it sucks.
Okay, well, go knock out.
So what time do we back?
Just whenever you wake up. Just go to sleep and wake up whenever you wake up. If you want to set an alarm, you can, but it's up to you. Like, we'll probably... I don't know when we're going to be on lunch, so usually you just, like, wait until... It's usually later than I think it's going to be. Usually it's, like, 12:31 or maybe a little bit later than 1.
I'll tell you what. I'm in room 409.
Giddy up.
So maybe, like, I think 2-3 hours is great, but past that, sounds like I might be missing stuff.
Yeah, well, you're going to be missing stuff anyway.
Well, yeah, but... Like whenever lunch is. So.
Whenever lunch is over, I'll try to call your room or something.
Does that sound cool?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I apologize.
Don't apologize. No, I did you fine.
Alright, cool.
Cool. Alright, have a good nap.
Yeah.
Cool. Alright.
Yeah, it was very very difficult for me. Really difficult. Really hard.
Uh-huh.
So I also just wanted to give up and to go home. Just wanted to come back to the hotel and. Yeah, really. Right away. So probably the most difficult experience in my life, in the coaching.
Oh, probably, good.
Yeah, for me it's...
You'll have a lot of those while you're here.
I'm a very difficult customer for you.
No, you're fine. No, you're not.
Yeah, no, it was... so I couldn't approach on the main street there where all those people were. So I just... went to those streets or small streets where
mm-hmm.
less people were,
mm-hmm.
and I just then was able to approach when they were standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was standing there, and because I approached on the main street, one woman, and then she ran away. She saw that I would sell something, probably, and also a man, and he no. And then I said okay. Then I just tried those places where it was not so crowded. And
okay, so hang on. Before you continue, there's something happening here that is causing this. It's not that it's harder to do this in the main streets. It's not harder to do it in the main streets. It's that something that you're doing that they're not responding to. And you have to, first off, you have to notice that. You have to know that's what's happening. That you're doing something and they're going, no. You don't even know what you're doing because you can't see it because you can't see yourself doing it. But know that there's something that you're doing because if you are getting like a no, and I'm standing right next to you and I do it and I'm like, okay, it's working. It's not because that intrinsically I'm a better person than you, you know. It's because there's something I'm doing that you're not doing or something that you're doing that I'm not, right? It's to change. But again, remember, here's what you did. and I want you to be aware of this process. You said, that didn't work, so I'm changing my outside world. You don't change the outside world. You stay in that place, and then you change what you're doing. It'll never work if you keep changing the outside world. That's like saying, I tried to talk to an attractive girl, but that didn't work, so now I only talk to ugly girls. Like, that's not going to help you in life, you know? You have to be able to change the way you act and the way that you do things so that you can do it in that environment. And just to kind of give you an idea, just to show you what you're doing, and this isn't like, this isn't bad or good or anything. It's just to show you so that you can know that this is your tendency. This is what you will probably naturally do, is you'll naturally run away from whatever it is that's outside, right, of yourself, whatever situation you're in. And that's what you did. You're like, I'm going to run to the side streets. And then have them like do it there because for some reason that's going to be easier, you know. And then you make up reason why, and then you go over, and then it's easier, right? For whatever reason. But then you don't change your behavior, and so you're not getting better. Does that make sense? Instead, you're just increasing your odds by being in a place where it's easier. But that's not what this whole weekend's about. And you'll know that. You know that now, even after last night, and you'll know it again today because it'll be obvious, you know. Because today it's not going to be a I'm not going to talk to that girl. Like, Brad and Connor are going to be like, her. They'll point at a girl, and you have to go talk to her, you know? And you can't be like, no. Like, it's not going to be like that. Oh, I'll wait till she gets on a side street, you know? But what will happen is you cut off entire areas of the world for yourself if you do that. I understand that you did it yesterday. Yesterday was your first day, you know? And this is a strange exercise. But what you're forgetting that's making you scared is you're forgetting that they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting your disguise. They're rejecting your mask. You forgot that yesterday. That's the thing. That's what you have to remember. You need to write that down. Like, write it down and put it in your pocket, in your back pocket, and keep it with you. Anytime that happens, like literally right now, write it down and then put it in your back, or tear it out, fold it, and put it in your back pocket. And if you have a wallet, put it in your wallet.
So what's the sentence?
I would say they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting your mask. That's the easiest. Then you'll remember what the context is, you know. It takes time to remember this shit. Like, you have to, in the middle of the moment, you have to remind yourself. It's difficult to remember while you're all freaked out, you know. I have to do this stuff too.
Yeah, I will say, it's about what you called default mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the default mode has to be
that. Yeah. My setting, and then from there, you gotta take action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you gotta reset. The reason why you want to reset the default to this state instead is that you got it down?
Yeah.
Rip it out and then put it in your fold it and put it in your wallet. Do you have a wallet with you?
Yeah.
Do you open your wallet like daily or?
I know we need money, I guess.
Yeah. Do you buy stuff daily? Yeah. Just put it somewhere you see it all the time.
Okay.
Do you have what kind of cell phone do you have?
iPhone.
An iPhone? Can I see it?
Yeah.
And can I see that paper?
The paper.
Both the paper and your iPhone.
Make it your background.
Yeah.
Photograph it in the background.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to do?
Yep.
Okay.
this paper at the bottom, I guess of every piece of paper, it says, because I care. It's hilarious. It's like already written there. Because I care. Okay. Is it unlocked?
Yeah.
Is there a code or anything?
No.
Okay. How about this? Oh no. Okay.
It's in French.
Yeah. Where's the photo? Yeah. Okay. You're gonna have this as your background until you don't need it as your background anymore. That means that by you don't need it, that means you look at it and you're like, I remember when I wrote that, when I needed that, you know? Like, if you remember when you needed it,
there you go. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Then that's good. Yeah. Oh shit! I'm not supposed to do this. Can you set this as your background picture? I can't read any of that stuff. Anything that you need to remember, like the most important thing you need to remember, needs to be in your background of your phone, your computer. Needs to be in a piece of paper in your wallet and in a piece of paper in your pocket. You have to put it everywhere in your world. If you have sticky notes, put it on your door when you walk out. I did this with, I think I told you guys my brother-in-law is a triathlete for Luxembourg, you know? He was placing in the middle. He wasn't like wasn't doing very well for a long time. And then he came to meet me in New York, and I was talking about some persuasion techniques that I had learned, like motivation techniques. And I was asking him about what was motivating him and everything. And I asked him what failure was when he was racing, and he was like, "Well, if I get in the second half of the participants of the race, like, you know, say there's 100 people, if he gets like 50 or behind, you know, then that's failure." And I was like, "Well, what's success?" And he's like, "Well, success would be first place, you know." So I was like, "Okay, so success is where it needs to be, right? Like, you can't go any better than first place." So I told him to write down on a piece of paper, first place is success, second place is failure. And so he wrote that down, and I said, put this on your door. So every day he'd wake up and he'd walk out his door and he'd see that every day. And the next day, the next race he had, he placed fifth. And then after that, he started placing podium, like first, second, third. He just raced the Ironman with a broken hand, actually. And he got 10th, but that, otherwise I think he would have gotten first. But he turned into a badass because he just stopped. He stopped, thinking that he was motivated by failure, really, the fear of failure, like the idea that as long as he wasn't failing, he was doing okay, right? So I was like, okay, well, if that's the case, just, you know, that's how your brain works. Just manipulate yourself. Just be like, what's failure then? Well, failure to him was like, you know, half. I was like, no, failure. Just make it second place. You'll fail, you know, but you'll get fifth. Instead of getting, you know, 25th or something. And so that's when his career really started as a triathlete after that. It could have been because of me. Could have been because, well, it was all because of him. I'm not the one running and swimming and biking, you know, luckily. That'd be terrible for me. But ultimately, you have to manipulate yourself, you know. Just trick yourself into doing what you want to. Put it everywhere in your life. Don't let yourself look away from it, because you're going to try to distract yourself and not look at it, you know. So you have to remember that. Remember, for you, the most important thing for you right now is that you're not being rejected. It's not you being rejected. It's them rejecting your mask. And then when people start liking you a lot, guess what? You have to realize they don't like you. They like your mask, you know? But then you start to, it's okay to identify as your mask if you're having a good time, you know? I mean, I don't identify as my mask. That's not what I want in life, but it's not a bad thing if you do that. Because, you know, there's not really anything besides your mask. Once you take your mask off, there's nothing there, you know. But that's the great news, is that you can do whatever you want to. Your mask can be whatever you want it to be. So you can change yourself to be whatever you want, so you can get the results in the world that you want. You're not who you are so you can look in the mirror and see what you see. You don't give a shit what you see in the mirror. What you care is how the world treats you, because that's what makes you either have a good time or not a good time. You know what I mean? You can look in the mirror all day and feel respectable, but if the world treats you like shit, you're not gonna look in the mirror and feel respectable. You're gonna look in the mirror and feel crappy, you know? So just change. You know? It's not you. It's not who you are. So you can change. That's my point, you know? So the more you remember this, the more you realize you can change. The reason why you couldn't figure out the 50 signatures thing yesterday, especially on the busy street, is because you didn't let yourself change. Because you have a habit of not changing, that's okay. It's nothing against you. Again, I'm talking about your mask right now. I'm not talking about you. So the person that you are pretending to be doesn't want to change because it's easy to stay the same, you know? It's just something you have to remember, that this isn't really you. You know what I mean? So that'll be like we'll just keep reminding you of that, you know? When we're out, whenever we're doing day or night game, in class, anytime that I can see it, anytime I hear you giving yourself excuses, don't give your mask excuses. That doesn't help it. That's like having a baby and going, "Oh, well, you know, it's not eating, so it's probably because it doesn't want to eat for a couple of days." Like, what? Your baby will die. Like, you have to be like, okay, well, let's figure out how to, it's an airplane, you know, here it comes, eat, got into it. You know, you're not like, okay, well, I guess it'll figure it out, or maybe it doesn't want to. You have to, like, you know, you're responsible for that if you choose to be, you know. If you don't choose to be, then that's okay. But just live with that, you know. You live with the consequences. In that case, you would be living with the idea that it's very possible or plausible that your child would be screwed up in some kind of way, maybe even die, right? So you have to accept the worst case scenario. Right now, you're doing the same thing to your mask. You're looking at it, and you're like, oh, well, it'll stay the same, even though the whole world is saying change, you know? And even though if I change it, it'll make me a lot happier, you know, I'll experience a much better life. I'm not doing anything. It's only because of habit. That's the only reason why, okay? So it's difficult to create new habits without playing a new role, you know? Like you know how when you became a father, you changed completely? Like, your mind changed? That's because you're playing a new role as a father. But roles aren't real, and you can't play roles. You have to, because then you have to be something, become something, and that's bullshit. You don't have to become anything. So playing a role just confines you within that role, and then you can't escape the role. But it makes the learning process really easy, which is why everyone does it, you know? So you have a choice. You can either make up a new role for yourself to play. Like I did that. I was like, I'll be the ladies' man, you know? Like the suave kind of like guy who's good with chicks, you know? So I made that role up in my head. And then I played that role, but I stepped out of it every time I didn't want to do it. I put the hat on and I took it off, you know? So I didn't identify as that thing. But if you put the hat on, you leave it on, and you start walking around, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you start to see that thing in the mirror, you know? And that's when you start to get trapped in that. And then I'm just trading, you know, a shitty role that didn't work in society for a role that works, but you can't escape either one. And that's not really what this is all about. It's about you being free from those roles, you know? Which is much, much deeper than any of the other stuff, you know? That's one of the reasons why my teaching is so alluring, so exciting to people, because it's like, no, be yourself. But you don't know who the fuck that is, so let's just figure that out, you know? I'm not saying, be this other guy, and that's it. Like, just be this other guy. You know, be a new thing, and then that's it. Because then you're back in the same situation you were in before. So, anyway, so I heard you kind of starting to make excuses for it. I don't want you to do that for yourself, because that works against you. So I wanted to stop you and tell you to do that, because I remembered I wanted you to do that anyway. If you guys, as we go through this, once I pinpoint something about you that I hear that is your biggest thing that you need to remember that will help you the most, if you have like some kind of a phone that's got like a screen like that, like an iPhone or something?
Actually, I got build your own company.
Build your own company. Okay. I would probably change that, because that was probably your being a man thing.
I would like half a year ago or something.
Yeah. I would probably...
I would like a big poster on my wall.
Okay, good. I would change that, though. But the reason why I would change that, though, is because I think that was your idea of what a man is, you know? But I think it's going to be more beneficial for you to not be a boy, you know? Like, to motivate yourself. Have you been building a company?
I tried.
Okay. So this is my ninth business that I started. I've owned... my first company I started when I was 14, and I've been owning businesses ever since I was 14 years old. And I can tell you what you need to know about that, but we can get into that sometime over the weekend or something, maybe on Sunday night or something after everything's over and we're hanging out. And any questions you have about that, I can tell you. But I wouldn't use that to motivate yourself to build a company, because that is probably the that won't work, and the company thing won't work. It's just a weird thing, because it's not a mindset change as being a business owner. It's something else. It's like an action that you take. It's more of like a, if I were you, this is scary, but I would put, at a moment just like this, you will die. That's what I would put. That'll motivate you to start a company. Because then you'll be like, fuck, what am I doing with my life? Like, every second of every day, you'll realize that a moment just like this, now, just like now, you will die. You'll be sitting there at your desk working your fucking job that you created, you know, but working your job. And then all of a sudden, fucking, you'll realize you're having a heart attack, you know? Like, you don't want to be doing something that you hate, and you don't want to, like, your whole life has to work for you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a really big fan of just like bending this life over and fucking it, you know? Just like getting whatever I want out of it, making it my bitch. Because, you know, we're alive for a limited amount of time. As far as I know, as far as anyone knows.
Yeah.
We're only alive once, and we're only here for a short period of time. So you don't have time to be stressed out or upset or sad or, you know.
Or in a bad job you don't like.
Or in a bad job. Or even worse, making a bad job. Well, if that's your biggest fear, you got to face that, you know? I would go work at, like, Pizza Hut or, like, Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I worked.
Not
at
a pizza, but
I worked at Little Caesars. Yeah, I would go. I would. Well, restaurant. That was like a step up for me. Yeah.
That was the worst place.
Yeah, dude. I was like.
That was fucking worst.
Washing dishes.
Like,
do you wash dishes?
Line all the time, like waiting tables.
Oh, dude, that's not. That's nothing, dude. I worked at.
That was pretty hard.
I had no. That's not hard. I worked at. I worked 16-hour days once at a job, on in a screen printing press. You know where you make they screen print shirts.
Yeah.
There's an oven that's got a conveyor belt. I was 14 or 15 when I did this, and I had to stand at the end of the oven and pull shirts that were like so hot that my fingerprints were burned off, and I had to fold them, and they were like coming this fast, and I got no breaks. I went to the bathroom and then came back, there was a pile of shirts that I had to catch up on and then get back. I was nonstop, no breaks, no like
16 hours,
no food, nothing, 16 hours, and I would work like 5 days a week doing this job. I don't know why the fuck I was doing that, but I did it, you know? I think more than anything, it was proving to myself I could, you know?
Yeah.
Once you hit rock bottom, you're not scared of rock bottom anymore. Nothing scares you anymore. Right. Worst case scenario is I go work at a screen printing press, and I've already done that, you know? Like, that was pretty bad. That was like a sweatshop, like a factory.
But that's not my fear. My fear is, like, having a good degree and then working for a big bank and just sitting there and doing bullshit stuff that doesn't matter.
Right. Well, then, okay, then that wouldn't be rock bottom for you. Rock bottom, well, then it wouldn't, then you wouldn't be scared to go, like, work at as a barista or something, or, like, a bar back or something, you know? Here's what I think. This is how I've always believed, and this is why I keep creating businesses. I always just get a job that helps me do what I want to become, like, become what I want to become, and once I become that thing, I quit.
That's an awesome mindset.
Yeah, I just kept, because the world, I mean, again, if this life is your bitch, and you're going to make money regardless of what you're doing, you know. It's just money. You just need it to keep going. But ultimately, you need to learn while you're doing this, you know, so you can grow faster. Because if you go to your job and you don't learn at your job, and then you get off and you have, like, time off that you're learning, there's not enough time in the day to get the knowledge you need, you know.
And you're always in another place with your mind.
Yeah, and then you lose those hours. Then you're really selling your time, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, if you want to be good, like, if you want to figure out social value, best thing ever. If you want to, like, have a lot of social value, be a bartender for, like, you know, I don't know, maybe a few months or maybe a year or something, as long as you want to. Don't get wrapped up in it, though. It's really easy to get wrapped up because you start making drinks for people, and then girls start, like, throwing their tits at you and, like, you know, like, they just want to fuck you because you're a bartender, you know? And then it's easy to get wrapped up. But I had a rule where I wouldn't fuck anybody that came into the bar. That way I forced myself to, like, to learn social value, not just go in and make it easy, you know? So it was always about training for me. Everything was training, you know? That's how come I got so good so fast. It's because every situation was training for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So work everything else. Like, now I'm done with that. So now I get to actually do what I want to do. But I was scared for a while that I was going to, like, start doing this job and then being like, and as soon as the company got really big, I'd be like, okay, I'm done, you know? But the only way that I won't do that is if everything grows with me, you know, and this company grows with me. So, like, the new material that I'm working on myself, I bring into the coaching, and then I create a new book or something, and then I release that book, and then I evolve, and then I do another one, you know.
You're still challenged.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to be, otherwise.
Yeah,
I told you that last night.
What's the point? Hi. See ya.
Yeah.
That's Kelsey.
I told you that last night when we were talking that all of us were always pushing ourselves to the next level. Like, all of us, everybody in this room is always going to be pushing to the next level, you know?
Yeah. Yep. That's the only way that you can stay on top of shit. Because think about this. You find the woman in your dreams, right? And most women are going to be attracted to the quality in you that you don't even realize they are, which is that ambition, that, like, always improving yourself quality. And so... they'll see that, but they're looking for a guy who's, like, you know, who's the best option for them. Just like you're looking for a woman who's the best option for you.
Yeah.
But as men, to be the best option, you have to constantly improve yourself. So if you stop and you get comfortable and she meets another guy who's improving himself, guess what? She's gone. That's how it is, you know? So you always have to improve yourself, always. You don't have a choice. Like, there's no end to this road.
And that's my mind. That's already my mindset.
Yeah.
And I'm scared of doing a job at a bank because I know that I'm not going to improve. I'm going to do the same shit for 20 years.
Well, at some point, your idea of improvement will change. It'll shift, you know. But that'll be in the future. But it'll shift from, like, your ambitious improvement to turning inward. And then you can do that shit anywhere. You can just sit here at the bank, you know, and you can exist doing this thing and it won't be any different for you. But that's like next level shit.
Right.
When you get there, you know, I'll tell you what I do, you know, and whenever I got to that place for the first time, what I started to do. But it's like you'll work your ass off to get there. And then everything you've done that got you there, you have to stop. You know, it's really strange how this works, you know, just like everything you did that got you where you are now, you have to stop. And it just, all the stuff that got you to where you are. Yeah. Like in order to get to the next level, you have to stop doing that stuff and do a new thing. You know, it's interesting. It's just a constant process like that. So, I found the best thing to do is to always wonder, what the next level is for me so I can have something to shoot for and, you know, things like that.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
It's hard to see that sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why mentors are good for a little while. Where I'm going now, there is no mentor that can take me there because I'm at that stage where I'm going inward and nobody can take me inward but me.
Yeah.
And it's scary. Last night, we watched The Matrix again. Like, and you haven't seen The Matrix, right?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
So The Matrix, and you have anything to say? You have, though, and you have to. I watched it a while ago, and this time when I watched it, I was like, it was so exactly about this process. Like, perfectly about this process. All of the whole movie follows the metaphor except for the love story. But that's a movie, you know? There's a love story in it. That isn't really part of the whole process, really, you know? But it's like, you know, he was like working his bullshit job, and then the, I don't want to ruin it for you guys, so I won't go too far into this, but the point where he actually gets offered the opportunity to wake up is by a guy named Morpheus. And he's like, when he finally meets Morpheus, Morpheus is like, you know why you're here, because you've been wondering. You've been wondering the question, right? You've been wondering. And the question that he's wondering is, what is the Matrix, right? The Matrix is the ego world, this world, you know? When yesterday in class I was describing this as there's a Hindu god named Maya, and Maya is the god of, like, delusion. And the god of delusion is what society is. So once you see, you step back and you're not wrapped up in Maya's world, then you can see the system behind Maya's world, the society, and you can manipulate it. You can change things in order to dodge bullets, like in The Matrix, you know? And so, not literally dodge bullets. I'm sure you could, but that's not the point, you know? But anyway, the point is that you can make the world around you change to fit whatever you want it to be, you know? And everything in the movie, just remove The Matrix as being the computerized world around you, and make it society, and it's perfect. Everything that he goes through in that movie is perfect, step by step by step. The whole thing. All of, like, the rejection of the truth. Like, at one point, he's like, this can't be real, and he throws up. It's like, that's how it feels. It's like, you freak out, you know? And you don't want to believe that it's true. And I watched both of you, like, no, this is not true. You know, this can't be true. I went through it. Everybody goes through it. When you wake up, that's what happens, you know? But there was a part where Morpheus was talking to him, and he says, you've been wondering a question. That's how I know you want out. That's how I know you want to know the truth. And his question was, what is the Matrix? But my question was, what happens? Why am I here? Right? What's the point? What's my purpose? You know, when you start wondering these questions and you don't stop wondering these questions, eventually the answer finds you, and it's not pretty, but it's the answer, you know? And that's the beginning of this process. You guys have probably wondered that already, you know? You probably were wondering that. And I'm kind of like Morpheus to you, and that I'm telling you what the answer is, and I'm showing you the truth, and the truth is not so nice, you know? And then what he has, at one point he has two pills. He says, you can take the blue pill, and you can wake up tomorrow and forget anything that's ever happened, or you can take the red pill, and you can see how deep the rabbit hole goes, you know? Like Alice in Wonderland. And as Neo's reaching for the red pill, he stops. He stops him and he goes, wait, I want to tell you, I'm only promising you the truth and nothing more. I'm not promising you it's going to be comfortable or fun or easy to understand or accept or nice or beautiful. I'm promising you the truth. And he took the red pill, you know. I don't think it's going to ruin the movie, but that's as far back as I'm, that's as far deep as I'm going to go. After that, the whole movie's amazing. But it's all about this process. So if you guys get a chance to watch that, you're going to be like, you know, take notes while you're watching the movie. It's a really amazing movie. If we had time, I would just watch it in here. You know? Because it's awesome. It's one of those movies. That and Fight Club is another movie about it's about the exact same thing. We're going to watch a scene from Fight Club today that I want you guys to watch that is really important to me, that I showed in my last class as well, that I taught in London. And it's a scene from Fight Club that shows, you're going to understand this because I already told you, but it will show you how many people in the world are trying to tell you the same thing that I'm telling you now. How many different people in the media, and not the media like we think the media, but certain movies or great authors, poets, philosophers, the smart people, the brilliant people of the world, why they're all saying the same thing, you know? And you'll start to see that they're all saying the same thing, and that will help you understand that this is true. It's not just coming from me. Yes, I'm crazy, but I'm not just crazy, you know? So are you. You know, you're just pretending like you're not. That's what I think is crazy, you know, that you think you're sane. That's nuts to me, you know. So anyway, we'll get to that a little later on. But I hijacked your process there, but I think that you're probably, you know, you got responses from people though, right?
Six.
That's fine. You know, when I say 50, by the way, almost no one comes back with 50. But if I don't tell you that you have to do 50, you're not going to fucking come close. You know, it won't even happen. If I was like 20, you'd get 2. That's how it is. If you have this ratio in your head to what you think is possible, and so I just tell you something that's really difficult. We had a guy come back once with like 85, and I was like, shit, dude, that's great, you know? But you see where your head is, you know? I want you to get as many as you possibly can. I want you to fight I want you to fight against a monster you think you can't possibly win against, you know? Do a task you think you can't possibly do, you know? And then just try and see what happens. If I asked you to do it today, guess what? You'd at least get 7, at least. You'd probably get more than that. You know? It's just kind of how it is.
I had to fight the temptation to keep chatting up with this girl that was really getting into a conversation mode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stop. I said, no, I got to get some more.
Yeah.
It's been nice.
That's great. That's great. You know? That's like what it's like to be a coach, man. That's like to be a field coach. You have to be like, hey, what's going on? And goes like, oh my God, you're so amazing. Okay, bye. It's like your whole life is like that. You're like, but at the
just
end of the night,
like adorable Russian girl down eating breakfast, and she's like, you can sit, and I was like, I'm gonna go up to her.
Oh yeah, yeah,
with my friends. You know,
I wish I could sit.
Okay,
my wrists.
She's here till tomorrow, huh?
Do you remember anything?
No.
It was like 90 digits long. It's like 7K. Niner? I hear Niner in there. So what was your response from people that you actually got reactions from? The general idea.
There was one. One bad word for me. So that after that, then I just thought, oh, I don't want to go on. Also, it was a business. So and I felt like I was making them afraid when I approached them, that they were like afraid, and that made me feel uncomfortable. That I like shocked them.
I mean, I want to remind you what you have on your phone and what you have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I just want to remind you now.
Telling the guys that all the information, all the stuff is amazing,
and.
Knowledge is great, but to use it, to apply it, that's for me very difficult. So I also that thing of manipulating myself or changing myself, I think that there I'm just like...
You're just not practiced. You're not. Trust me, you got where you are, you changed and become who you are. You are nothing, man, I promise. The more...
I look at them, they are so, I told them, so natural and smooth. Everything is... Yeah.
You sure?
I can't help but laugh when you say that.
Yeah, because I was not like this either.
It's fun. Just to look at them, it's great.
No, hang on, but there's an important point here that you need to hear. Brad was not smooth when I met him. Neither was I. So obviously, we learned this. We changed our behavior and this worked. I want you to really understand that that's how it happens. That's what happens.
In Dagen, in London, there was the technique, yes? So to run and then...
Yeah.
Okay. So then it was easier because, okay, there's the technique, and then, okay, But here there was nothing. Just go, and also the situation, just to ask for those questions, for that question, the three impressions, that was something like there I was like lost. I have no plan, no technique, and that was difficult. And so, but people said, mainly they said, they wrote their, one said, okay, short, yes, okay. And the other said, always was nice, kind, open, and flexible.
Flexible? Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Have your leg over your head?
I don't know why. Sign I this paper. I also didn't understand that one. Huh? But yes, but mainly that, and well dressed.
Okay.
And who takes care of himself.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, okay.
And open also. Honest also.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. I can imagine that.
Are you not eating that?
Are you eating that? Are you hungry?
I'm so hungry.
Yeah. You want some?
You want it? Is that, you, what is it?
I don't think you want it.
What is it, croissant or something?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah? I haven't touched it.
You want ketchup?
I'm good.
Okay. Okay, so before this boot camp is over, I hope that you stop talking shit to yourself and about yourself, because this is not good to hear this, you know? It's not that you had problems. Everybody has problems. Everybody has problems, and especially during the phase that you're in. But the process, like the stage that you're in right now, is the hardest stage of the entire thing, because you don't know how to respect yourself yet. So you can't trust yourself that you're improving, and so this is really difficult. You know, the first thing I want to say is that from now on, and I'll have to tell Roberto when he gets when he resurrects himself later. But from now on, I don't want to hear anybody say anything negative about themselves in the present tense. This is something that will change the way you look, you talk to yourself and everything. Don't ever say, I am not good at blah, blah, blah. From now on, you're always going to put that in the past tense. Like, I was not good at blah, 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 right? Never put it in the present tense. The reason why is because as you talk to yourself, and as you even talk to other people out loud, and you say, I am not good, you have to not be good now. You can't give yourself permission to change because... you have a consistency thing. There's a psychological concept called consistency. That consistency is the idea that you, once you agree to be something, you have to be that thing all, as much as possible. Otherwise, people can't trust you, you know? So instead of using consistency to make you crappy all the time, you can never say anything negative in the present tense. You have to say everything negative in the past tense. So from now on, if you're in the middle of a sentence and it's like, you know, look out for that bus, you know, and you're telling me to like, watch out for a bus, I'm about to get hit by a bus, right? And you're like, I'm scared, look out for that bus. I'd be like, in the past, I'll get hit by the bus. But if you don't say, I was scared about you getting hit by that bus, I'd be like, okay, I'll move, you know? Like, I'm not going to move forward a single inch or a single step, and neither will Brad or Connor at all until you put whatever it is you're saying negative in the past. Okay? This is going to be life-changing for you. This will allow you the permission to change, you know? Right now, you're keeping yourself like that. You're the one who's doing that right now. Because you don't even hear yourself doing it. That's why, you know? You don't know you're doing that. And you have to do it in every language in your mind. If you speak, is German your first language?
No.
Luxembourg?
Portuguese?
Oh, Luxembourgish and Portuguese? Okay.
Mother tongues, yes, those two.
What are you thinking?
I think in that language I speak, so if I'm speaking Russian, then I sing in Russian. So.
Okay, so you have to do this in every language. Does that make sense? Every language that you have, that you speak, you have to go through and do this again in every single language, because you have a new way to say it in your mind, and your ego is going to take whatever language is going to be the easiest to control you with, and then you'll start thinking in that language only. You know what I mean? So you have to do this in every language. But for now, if it's English, just do it whatever language you're talking in. Always put your challenges or your negative thoughts in the past tense. Like, I wasn't good at talking to women. And if you really want to get better faster, if you want to sit and wallow in pain and suffering, which a lot of people do actually want to do that. Like, because suffering is part of who you are now. You know what I mean? It's, you identify as a sufferer now. You're a suffering man.
That's the right word. Because I go to my job, and there I have to motivate, so I'm an open person, and seems to be that I seem to be happy,
mm-hmm.
and so everything is done. But then I go home and alone, the whole day alone. I just speak at it. So I have almost no phone numbers. Nobody calls me, or I don't call, or I don't have emails or something. Just only for my job.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I make simultaneous oral translations at meetings. So then I do that when I have free time, and.
Mm-hmm.
That those are the only moments where I have exchange of emails or when people call me to work, but otherwise I have nothing. So because I feel really sad inside, and so I just want to be alone. And
mm-hmm.
I also think that the job of a teacher is that you give the whole day and then you just want to go home and not speak. I don't watch television. I don't listen to the radio. Just.
I mean, I don't watch television either or listen to radio, so like, I understand that too, and I'm a teacher as well, so I understand that. But when I do go home, I do what's called getting my mind right. You know, I go back, and this is from Cool Hand Luke. Have you ever seen Cool Hand Luke before? Fantastic, like old Paul Newman movie. Like, it's an awesome movie. He's another guy I think is really cool to model him. Like, if you want to watch somebody, it's the movie's called Cool, COOL, Hand, like your hand, and then Luke, LUKE, Cool Hand Luke. It's a little bit of an older movie, but you'll see the main character is this guy, you know? What happens is he goes to jail because he's bored, so he starts, you know, creating crime, you know, committing crimes just because he's bored. And then he goes to jail, and he has something to do in jail, you know? And they're trying to break him. The whole time they're trying to break him down, you know? Like, they make him dig a ditch, and it takes him, like, 15 hours, and he's, like, digging, and he's super tired, barely lifts a shovel, and they're like... And then another guy walks by, and he goes, Luke, what are you digging that hole for? Fill that up. And he was like, and he has to start filling it in. And then it shows him filling it in at the very end. He's packing it down. Another guy goes, I thought I told you to dig a hole here. Dig that hole. And he goes, and he has to dig it again, just like nonstop, day and night, until they finally want to break him, you know? They're just trying to break his spirit over and over again, you know? And they call that getting his mind right, you know? And the thing I'm trying to break is my ego. I'm breaking my ego spirit. So I get back and I study shit, you know? That's what I do. I study. I read, you know? I figure out what it is I need to know, and I put it in front of me and I learn. You know, it's not the same. Teaching is not the same as learning. I mean, you learn a lot when you do teach, but it's not the same, you know?
But I even don't feel like reading anymore.
Of course you
just
don't.
Lost all that motivation.
Yeah, you're not, of course you're not. But that's because right now you're in a downward spiral right now. The only way to stop a downward spiral is to change your habits. Like, get rid of shit at your house. Whatever it is that you do, like, force yourself, basically. Like, what, you said you live in Luxembourg? How often do you have house guests? Never? I would invite someone to stay with you for like a couple weeks. Just let them stay with you. Do you have an extra room? You do?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let them stay in your extra room. Someone you don't really even know very well. Someone who, maybe someone whose studies is totally different from you. Like the exact opposite from you. Like, blow up your world. Start to disrupt your life, you know? Because right now, nothing is worse than what you're doing. Right? So, anything you do can only make it better. Now, worst case scenario is you do exactly what you're doing right now forever. That's the worst case scenario. So anything you do, you know, if you get one of your teeth pulled, you know, okay, great, that's an improvement. Because now you're not going to be doing the same thing you were doing before, you know. I would say that even getting addicted to hard drugs right now would be an improvement for you. Because it's just going to change yourself, you know. You would have to change. Something would have to change in your life. I'm not saying it would change for the better in that case. But it would be different. And that's the problem is right now, when you get stuck in a downward spiral, the problem is that you keep going down. That's the habit. The habit is to go down, you know, and to get worse and worse and worse. What you're looking for is the bottom. That's what you're looking for.
But I touched it because So when I had so I my daughter from next girlfriend, and then I also was married, and then my mother committed suicide.
Right.
But I had I lost everything. So I had she got everything. So then I was during 7 years I was paying everything back. I said I'm going to pay everything back because I had all the debts. And my mother committed suicide, so I also had her debts because so I had to take everything over. And then there were moments I used to have lots of friends, I thought. But then when I needed help, nobody was there. And then, so I was even, I had dogs, and I remember one moment, for example, I had just one, how do you say the word? Mice.
Corn.
Corn, yeah, thank you. Corn.
Oh, yeah.
One little, like a box of corn. That was everything I had in the kitchen to eat. And then I gave two dogs, I gave them a little bit, him a little, and then for me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I couldn't go to work because I had no money to put fuel.
Yeah.
So it was really like starving almost. Really, it was bad. And
I can relate to that.
I lived in a room
yep.
for 7 years, like this, not more than a
mm-hmm.
little corner with a shower, little corner. That just bad there. Yes. So
can I ask you a question about that? Why?
Because I had to pay all those debts back.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I also could have, yes, but I didn't.
Ah, you chose to do it. This is what I'm trying to tell you.
I lost everything.
No, you didn't lose it. You gave it up.
Yeah, I gave it
up. You gave everything up. You did that on purpose. You chose to do that. You're not taking responsibility for your decision. You know, if that were me, you know what I would have said? Fuck this. Come and get your money. Try and get your money from me. You know, bankruptcy? Okay, fuck it. 7 years, you know that bankruptcy goes away in 7 years in the U.S.? In 7 years, your slate is wiped clean from bankruptcy. You spent 7 years paying it back. Which one would have been better? 7 years wandering around the Amazon, you know, like learning new shit, exploring your world, or 7 years sitting there in a tiny, dingy room, you know? You chose that because that's safer. Because you don't, it's scary to do something different. That's why you chose that. Don't make it seem like you did a duty. Like, at the end of your life, you won't look back on that moment, those 7 years, and go, at least I did that. You won't give a shit about that. You'll be like, why did I do that? I promise that will happen, you know? And you're continuing to do it now. I'll have this conversation with you every day until you stop doing this. You know, I already know that no matter what happens, I'm in your mind. I'm somewhere in the back of your mind now talking to you. Even when I'm not here, I'm going, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. Why are you doing this? You know? And it's going to eat away at you and eat a little bit every day until there's nothing left. And then finally you'll snap. That will happen. You know? And when you snap, you'll begin your life. If you survive. You know? I think you could probably just get straight to the point, really, and not wait for that to happen. But that resistance to what you know is coming, you know it's coming. You know that you're going to have to give it all up. You're going to have to start over and do your life like you want to. You know it's coming. So it's only a matter of time. Either you wait till later and you lose more years and more days and more hours or minutes of your life, or you do it now. You've already made a decision, so I already know you're going to.
That's even the point, yeah. Because I even think that when I have like to change and all, I think, but I'm too old, I'm 42, how can I do it? Yes, and then I'm like a teacher, yes, so I have to be... To behave well and I want to be nice and kind and honest because that was all the values that my mother gave me, you know. And all the time I just
let it all go. You're holding on to a bunch of shit. Just let it go.
Even when every day I call my daughter, then I ask her how the day was. But I feel even that she's annoyed because I all the time ask the same question: how was your day? And
yeah,
and she. Okay,
you probably got not. You're not giving her anything.
Yeah, just
like I'm saying, you know, you either do this for you or you do it for your daughter. I don't care why you do it, but you have to do it. You know,
what she loves is when in summer. So we went to the States because that's a dream. She wants to live there even, and so then I give her that. Then she's really happy that moment. But otherwise, I even feel that I cannot give her anything because I'm too boring, really boring.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's because you're choosing to be. So you have to change this, right? So the best first place this changes is in your mind. You have to start putting all your... Okay, so first off, you used to be boring. That's just, and I need you to say that now, in the past.
Okay.
So say it.
I used to be bored.
Okay.
And I also, I tried everything. I tried marriage agencies and so on. I spent lots of money on in that. And then nothing also. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's all bullshit.
Because
so
I really wanted someone with me because I want to feel alone.
Well, that's just like, hey, I'm miserable.
Yeah.
Someone come join me.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no one, no one is it. No one likes that ad.
Yeah.
Miserable man seeking woman who is happy who wants to be miserable. You know?
Yeah.
That doesn't really work, you know? You have to be happy.
Yeah, I always thought that, that then I would be happy if, the,
right.
if I would have then.
But now you're realizing that's not true.
Probably.
No, no, all right, now you're realizing that's not true. Right now.
Yes.
You are. You know you are. Don't fight this. Just let go. That's your only problem is that you're fighting this. Does that make sense? I can sit here and tell you techniques all day long. There's no point in me even teaching you if you don't fight this. If you want to get your money's worth for this, you won't fight it. You won't, you'll do everything I tell you. And right now I'm telling you to give up. Stop fighting it. You know? You don't want, don't worry about that shit. Let it all go. All of it. We can start over. You know? You can start over. I promise. I'm not going to be like, yesterday you were depressed and today you're not. So you're lying. You know? That's not, no one's going to do that to you here. No one would do it to you anywhere, really. Everyone would be very excited about you being happier, you know? But right now, you're just, you're at this point of nuking, like, you know, dropping a nuclear bomb on your life. You're about to do that, and you know you are about to do that. So you either accept it, and it happens because you choose, and you get to save the lives of people around you, or you don't, and it's really messy. Everyone hates you, you know, because you do it. So it's your choice. It's your choice. It's always been your choice. That's what I want. That's the whole only point I want to make right now, really, is that it's always been your choice. Your entire life, it's been your choice. You chose to pay the debts back for 7 years. You lost 7 years of your life. You chose to do that. Why? Because it was more important for you to fulfill your duty as a man, to feel like a man. You know, to not your mom. Your mom's debts, like, she's not going to be upset with you if you don't pay her debts. Like, that's not what she would have wanted for you. You know, I don't think she would have wanted that for you. You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't make any sense, and you know it doesn't make any sense. So I think it's time to start being realistic. It's time to really be a man now. Like, this is the next step for you, you know? And you didn't do the exercise yesterday, but we'll come back to night game in a minute. Let's hear about yours.
It was pretty fun. I loved it.
Okay, what did you learn, though?
Everybody was so friendly, and, like, not everybody, but most of the people were, like, friendly and... wrote good stuff up down, like open, self-confident, interesting, stuff like that, student. But I think I had a pretty good approach because I tried to say, can I disturb you? And everybody was like, no, get away. So, so I was like, can I have a second of your time? And I was like, yeah, sure. And,
they're like, one, okay.
Yeah.
1 second.
Yeah, and it's...
So see, okay, look, this is what it looks like to change your mask. This, it's not that difficult to change your mask. You just go, hey, can I bother you for a minute? No. Okay, shit, that didn't work. Okay, can I get a second of your time? Yes. Okay, that works. I'm going to say that now. That's all that it is. It's not like something super complicated where you, where like all of a sudden he's a different person and like his family won't recognize him, you know?
It's small changes.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of small changes though, you know, a bunch of little ones over time that happen, so... Anyway, so what were some of the things that you got? You said you got open and things. What were some? What were some common ones?
Some common ones was like good looking.
That's good.
Open, self-confident, student, probably the wife, friendly, young, good style, young, beautiful, cool.
Beautiful. Someone said beautiful.
That's a tip. Yeah. Sympathetic. Still like one direct. Talkative, brown eyes, and like nobody said anything bad actually. Like small was that is technically good.
I hope so. That's not that's a difficult one to change. Yeah. Steroids. Okay, cool. So what did you learn about yourself that was really important during that process?
That I can walk up to anybody and everybody's friendly to me. If I'm friendly, because I was all the time like smiling. And running, they wrote down big smile all the time. I it seems like I have this big smile that people like. So I just smiling and like try to talk friendly to them and they're friendly to me. And if they're not, I'm like, okay, why?
Right.
I'll talk to you.
Okay. This is okay. You're obviously at a place now where you're not as affected by rejection. The point at which you aren't affected by rejection is the exact moment when you become successful with women. Just so you guys know, it's not like they're two different times. When you stop caring about being rejected is when you start to see responses from women that are positive. As long as you're because that will happen. No matter where you go, no matter who you are, you will always be rejected. That's how it is. You know, it doesn't matter how good looking you are or how nice or cool you are or how smart you are. It doesn't matter. I get rejected. If I do stuff, sometimes I get rejected, you know? But there's no idea of rejection in my head. It's not like I'm terrible if I get rejected. I just go, oh, okay, well, they're not in the mood or not ready or I'm not supposed to talk to them. And whatever it is, I just go with the flow, like if it's the next thing. So this is what it sounds like. So if you're not hearing yourself go, oh, yeah, well, they said they didn't like me, but whatever. Like, you have to weigh the really good shit way more. Like, it has to be heavier in your mind than the negative stuff. So, like, whenever I started trying to get rid of my fear of rejection, I would get, like, 19 rejections and one positive, you know? And then I would think about the positive one, like, every second, like, as much as I possibly could, because I was already thinking about the negative stuff, like, constantly in my mind. I just wanted to balance it out a little bit, you know? I realized that if I have 19 positives and one negative, the negative was, like, louder than all the rest of the positives, you know? All the good things were kind of quiet, and all the bad things were really loud. So I just made... If you try to make the negatives quieter, they just get louder, you know? The bad stuff just gets louder. So I was like, let me just make the good stuff louder. So I made it louder. You know, I started thinking about it all the time. I started saying all the good stuff, like, oh, yeah, this happened today. And I just ignore all the negative stuff. And then eventually, my mind balanced out, you know, and I could see things equally. But it took like 2 weeks or something for that to happen, of me doing this for 2 weeks. Like every day, being like, having all this negative stuff and going, yeah, but this happened. And anytime something positive happened, I'd like write it down and I'd think about it. I'd write about it, you know, like write a story or write it out exactly, like in detail. Think about what it means about me, about how it's possible that maybe I'm not like as crappy as I think I am. You know, you get in this pattern, this habit, and eventually your brain equals out again. Right now it's all lopsided. Like all the negative stuff is really like, it's like one negative thing is worth 8 positive things. You know, this is what gets you in a downward spiral though. This is what it is. One little bad thing will send you off in the negative direction. So are you good? Yeah. Did you have something else to say? Or?
Yeah. What I noticed is that a lot they wrote down first impression was my clothing and details. Like they wrote down chewing gum a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
So first impression, my opinion, is like tiny things that change a lot.
Yeah.
So they wrote down chewing gum. Then I took a shot of tequila and two people said he smells like alcohol and stuff like that. Like... he's not shaved right and stuff like women seem to pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah. There was a friend of mine who had a YouTube channel and he was making videos on YouTube. And one day he was like me, like right now, like he didn't shave and he's like all scruffy. And he shot a video and it was like really good content in the video. And then all the comments below were like, nothing was about the content. It was all like, you just woke up and rolled out of bed. Like everybody was just talking about how he looked. So he made another video that was the same audio from the first video, but it was just words on the screen. Like, has anyone seen the goldfish video that I do? Do you know how it's just words on the screen?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who taught me how to do that was this guy who I'm talking about now. He did that, and then all of a sudden, his business went crazy. And people loved the video because they weren't thinking about, like, why is he not shaved? Why does he look like that? He's too strong. He's too muscly. Like, they have all these assumptions and judgments in their mind about it. As soon as you remove those, people don't do that, you know? That's why I'm not in my videos. Because if I was in my videos, I probably wouldn't... No one would watch the fucking videos, you know? They'd be like, oh, I don't care about this guy. I mean, my videos in the members area, but not... Because that's... I mean, once you're in there, you're already, like... You've committed and you're in there, you know? But not to everyone else outside. Like, not to, like, my YouTube channels. Not usually, at least. Because people have negative responses to that. It doesn't matter whether or not you put your best foot forward. So most people just don't want to see it. It distracts them, you know? So
and that's... And obviously the negative side.
What's that?
Like, everything can be positive, but one thing is negative, and they you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's what they'll talk about because that's what they do to themselves. So they're trying to do it to you too because they think that you're doing that to them, and that's how the world is. That's probably how you see the world too right now. But that's not really how the world is. My world is not like that. If you were to be like, you're skinny and stupid, I'd be like, okay, well, you're right. I mean, I am skinny and stupid. That's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, really. I feel very happy being skinny and stupid, you know? I would feel okay. But there was a time in my life when that would have ruined my year. I'd be thinking about it for an entire year, you know? And even if I didn't know who you were, you know? Or if you were like the guy bagging my groceries at the grocery store, like putting my stuff in the grocery bags, and you were like, said something like, you get skim milk? I'd be like, never get skim milk again. Like, I'd never buy skim milk. I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna pour half and half in my cereal, you know? Like, cream, heavy cream in my cereal. Like, I would just change everything for everyone around me, you know? But now I'm not like that, but my mind changed. That's what happened. My brain actually changed. So, let's go into to the field game, or field work at nighttime now. I know there's probably a lot more notes that you guys might have. Do you want to kind of join us over here for that, or?
Yeah, sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I don't mean to take you away from what you're doing.
But. Yeah, well, I'm taking notes on what we're talking about.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, whatever you want to do, but whenever it comes time for you to talk, maybe we'll just come over here or whatever. So,
okay.
So why don't you, since I wasn't there, why don't you go ahead and start? I can imagine how this went, but because I know, I can imagine you guys all doing this. I've been doing this for long enough, but let's see it.
Okay. So first of all, one thing that was really great is that all of you guys really showed up with an amazing attitude, you know, and, you know, were very responsive to whenever Connor and I asked you to do something or suggested to do something, you guys just did it, which is makes our job a lot easier, which is really great. So what we'll do here is kind of talk about some of the notes that we have, like, for each individual person as to, like, what we noticed and what you can continue working on as far as technique-wise, and, you know, tell you why that's important. So, Ivan,
mm-hmm.
For you, I saw you walking around a lot, talking to a lot of different people, but the thing, so the technique-wise, the thing that I noticed the most in you is something that we call sharking, which is basically, like, so it's basically like this, like walking around, like looking for the next opportunity, you know, and like, so this, it's like you're, you know, you're a shark, you're looking for your next prey, you know,
yeah,
and
searching for injured fish.
Yeah, exactly. Like this, like, I guess Connor, you talked to Ivan about, drink guarding, which is another thing.
That's usually hand in hand with sharking. That's
yeah. Like, so this is usually what sharking looks like. And I mean, you guys will see this now, like now that you're aware of it, every time you go out to every bar ever in the whole world, you're going to see guys doing this, like looking for the prey, you know, scoping out chicks.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so obvious to women are just like, ugh, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that, I mean, all of us can work on all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we catch you doing any of them, they're all like really simple changes to make, which
mm-hmm.
is great, and they make a huge, huge difference in how you're perceived, you know, subconsciously to everyone else in the bar. So, so you mentioned that you talked to Ivan about drink guarding. Drink guarding is this. This is what guys do. This is what we do as people to protect ourselves subconsciously. If we're a little nervous or a little scared of something, we put something in between us and the thing that could potentially hurt us. So we don't even notice that we're doing it, of course. You know, this, it feels very comfortable. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like this is, I'm just being comfortable, you know, I'm just standing in a comfortable way. But really, what's happening is your subconscious mind is like, ah, you know, I'm scared of the stuff out there. So I'm going to try to protect myself and usually take up not very much space. So the way to correct that is pretty easy, actually. And you started doing this, which is great. And that's just taking your drink in. Holding it at your side at all times as a default state.
Or putting it down.
Yeah, having a place to sit.
Bar somewhere.
Mm.
So that's drink guarding.
Sharking, though, what's the, you want to tell them what to do instead of sharking?
Sharking, the thing that actually Connor and I were both talking about this, this is something that seems really counterintuitive, but when you're out with a group of friends, which is what we are, you know, we go out as a group of friends, it's actually really important to, if you're having an interaction with the people in your group, it's important for that to be your focus, you know, in that, like, we're going to be able to take you from that interaction and turn and push you into some other interaction. You know, if we see a group of girls or a girl, we'll be able to go, okay, go, you know, but in the meantime, while you're having a conversation, make that the focus of your entire universe, because why else would you be here at this bar with your friends if what you really wanted was to scope out chicks? That seems really kind of silly, you know? So
it either means that your friends aren't important to you. That means that you don't have important friends, which means that you have, probably have low value, you know, and that you, you know,
yeah,
people around you don't care about. Or it means that, that they are important, but you're so needy that you're searching for chicks.
Exactly.
Both of those are bad.
It also just means that it just shows that you're really uncomfortable. So people that are, like, looking around, they're in a strange environment, they're not sure if it's going to be okay, and so they're constantly looking for something that could be dangerous. You know, whereas if you're completely comfortable, you're not worried about anything bad happening, you don't need to look around, because whatever it is going to be fine. You just know, like, everything around me is fine, I don't need to be on the lookout for anything. But I remember when we were talking, and I said, don't pay attention to anyone that's not within this small bubble around us. You know, like, you and I are talking, if someone's next to you, you can talk to them. If someone's behind you, turn around and talk to them. But don't be looking over there or over there. It just looks like you're very uncomfortable. And the more that you act like that, the more that you're just paying attention to us or whoever you're talking to, whatever girl's right next to you, you don't see everything around you, then you don't even have to worry about it. So if you're nervous, thinking, I always think, like, okay, there's a group of girls over there, and you go talk to them now, shit. And you start thinking, oh God, there's a group of people over here, I'm probably going to have to talk to them too, oh shit. If you're not even aware of any of that, you don't even let yourself know that it's there, you don't have any time to think about it or get nervous. You're just paying attention to what's around you, and you're in the moment, which is where you need to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
And as we're having conversations with you especially, and we actually worked on this, Alberto, I worked on this with you and with Jacob specifically. When we were talking to each other, we started to have more animated conversations using our hands. And, you know, the first response from sort of quieter guys, like for more introverted guys like me, is like, really? Like, that's, why do I need to do this? You know, this isn't me. Like, I don't talk with my hands or whatever, but when you do, it looks like, and actually it is, this is the most interesting, most important conversation probably you've had in a really long time, if not in your whole life, as we're standing at the bar and you guys are, you know, on this step in your new life. But anyways, what it looks like and is to everyone else in the bar is that we're having a really amazing conversation, you know? We're talking about something incredible. So everyone around us, girls are starting to get attracted, even though you're not noticing. Well, one thing you can do, and Josh can explain this pretty well, because I learned from him, is to start to access your peripheral vision. So you can start to take in information without looking at everything. So does that make sense? Like, you can still be focusing on the conversation that you're having in front of you, but in the meantime, you can be taking in information from the sides. I know this doesn't, this sounds a little strange to be talking about.
Let's do an example.
Okay.
All right. So, do this. Hold out your, I guess, I'll let it room, but hold out your hands so you can barely see your fingers on either side. So if you're looking straight forward, you can see both your fingers and your peripheral vision. You guys may have to like spread out a little bit, you know? If anything else is distracting you, like, if you're holding it too far away, you won't be able to see, you know? Why don't you stand up, Renee, and, like, come over here, and maybe you can get, like, your own space so you can see this, too. Get it so it's just, like, move your fingers until you can see it in your periphery, and then move it so you can't, and then move it so you can, right? So right whenever you can't see it anymore, stop. Okay? So look forward, right when you can't see it anymore, stop. Now move your fingers. You see how they pop up?
Mm-hmm.
How you can see them all of a sudden? And then stop them. See how they disappear?
Mm-hmm.
You notice that? That's because your periphery notices motion. That's what it does. Your focus lets you see details, but your periphery notices motion. And whenever girls are looking for your body language, they notice it in their periphery. So they can see you, and the way you move in their subconscious mind processes everything that you're doing, even though they're not even looking at you. Like, I'll be looking at you, and then I'll see you over here, and then I'll be like, I'll put a little dot on you, like a little bubble above you that says, this kind of body language, you know, in my mind. And then if anything ever happens, all I have to do is look over for half a second to confirm that you're doing it, you know? And it's like that fast. So what you want to do, if you know that that's happening to you, you want to use that too, you know? You want to make it so that you can see girls moving around, you can see their blonde hair or whatever, and like their heads bobbing or whatever it is that they're doing, like dancing and stuff. You can see them in your periphery, but don't turn to look at them. Because if you turn to look at them, you have to go talk to them immediately. Does that make sense?
Okay. Mm. Well, that's a rule?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As soon as you look at a girl, you got
to
go talk to
her. Because I notice also when you go out with the guys, I talk with him. And I also notice when I talk to him, my what you said about your visual sight on the sideways, mm-hmm. I get contact with girls also. But when you notice the contacting, the girls are looking for you, hey, nice guy, uh-huh. What I'm thinking. And you look at it, what do you say? You must go for it.
Yeah.
I must stop the interaction and go for it.
Right. Well, here's what I usually do. I'll notice in my periphery, I'll see a girl, you know. Let's say that Ivan was a girl, which, you know, I can imagine. So, and I'm talking to you, right? We're hanging out. And I see him. And I notice that he's facing me, or she's facing me. I might give negative body language to her without her knowing that I see her. And then turn back and see if I can not look at her directly again, but see if she changes. And I do this all the time. And I can tell if a girl's attracted to me from a distance without ever having to interact with her. Because I'm looking at you, talking to you. And literally, when I was studying this stuff for the first, in the very, very beginning, I would be at a bar and I'd be talking to a friend of mine and I'd be like, hey man, so we're talking about stuff right now and things are pretty good.
Yeah.
And people are looking at us, but it doesn't seem like anyone's looking at it, and I'm like, it looks like we're having a really serious, like, fun conversation, but we're fucking talking about nothing at all, you know? So it's like what I would do with my friends. And then I'd be like, and there's a girl over here, and I'm not really sure if I'm going to talk to her or not, so I'm going to see if she's attracted to me. So let's look over there in that direction. Then we'll both look in that direction. And like, oh, yeah, yeah. And we'll keep, and we're not talking about anything at all. Just do this. Like, it's much better to do this than to do nothing, than just sit there and, like, look around, you know? So what I would do is I would start testing. And I would move around a bunch to see if her body language would follow me. And if it was, what I would do is literally, I'd be talking to you here like this. And I would be like, well, let's just ask her and see what she thinks. So, and I would literally walk over as I'm talking to you and be like, let's see what she thinks. I didn't even look at her yet, you know. And she was like, you know, what's going on? You know, it's really like, she's like, is he talking to me? Is this, what's happening? And the last thing she expected was for me to interact with her after not having looked at her at all. So in her mind, it looks like I'm so confident that I walked up to a girl I didn't even look at and just assumed that she was going to be attracted to me and going to want to talk to me, right? But really, that's not what's happening. Really, what's happening is that I know already that she's changing her body language based on what I do. And because of that, I can approach her with very little rejection or fear of rejection. Also, if I walk over and say, let's see what she thinks about this, and then I just start bantering with her, like, oh, Are you trouble? Because we've been having a conversation about whether or not you're trouble. She's like, what? You know, it's will fry her circuits. She will have no idea what's going on. But even if she's like, ew, get away from me, you know, let's say she does that. Then I don't look at her. I just go, let's see what she thinks. She's like, ew, get away from me. I'm like, you know, and I just keep having this conversation with you. Like, you can't reject me if I'm not looking at you. You can't reject me if I'm not paying attention to you. It's impossible.
And when are you facing her?
What's that?
At what time are you facing her?
I don't, not until qualifying. I don't face her. I mean, I'll look at her, but I won't face my body toward her until qualifying, you know? So I'll be like standing shoulder to shoulder, and then I'll be like, let's see what she thinks. And I'll turn and I'll talk like this to her, but I won't be looking at her yet, you know? And then blah, blah, blah. And then I might look at her right in the middle of the banter, just for a second, you know? And make eye contact with her. And then I'll back away, and then I'll bring her back into the conversation with us. And then she'll move over. She'll be complying. Like, you have to move people. You have to get them to move around physically, you know? And you can't do that by coming at it directly. If that works, then, you know, every guy would be good at this because it would be really easy to figure out. But it's not that simple, you know? I like to do things where no one has any idea what I'm doing until I finally reveal what it is that I'm doing. Like a like I'm playing chess almost. Like you don't know what my method is or anything, and then all of a sudden, checkmate, and you're like, "Fuck, I didn't see that coming." That's how I love. That's how I love doing this. But that's a little bit more advanced. But I really like that a lot. But in order to do that, you got to control your eyes. God, your eyes and your head.
Yeah.
The way your head moves, like you can't just be like, if someone's like Ivan, you can't be like. Like I used to practice, and someone would say my name, they'd be like Josh, and I'd be like 1, 2, 3. I turn my head, like I had to stop going, Josh, what? Because what's really happening is it's like, someone's talking to me. Oh my God, I can't believe someone's talking to me, you know? So I had to retrain myself to not do that, you know? I didn't mean to hijack it, but.
Yeah, so that's periphery, and that's, like Josh was saying, that how you control your eyes and your head might seem like, it's just one of those small details, you know? It's one of those things that you keep... You tweak this little thing, like Jacob was saying, with the choice of words for when he approached people on the street. You know, that's just that small little change that makes a huge, huge difference. It's going to increase your attraction level by like 10 times each one of these things that you do. And you keep stacking them up. And
all of a sudden you're
have
100 times more
attention.
Attractive, you know?
I mean, you saw how girls were responding to us. That's because we learned how to put these little... tweaks into place where there's just, we just get attention, you know? We walk in and I've never been there. Connor's never been there. We don't know anything about the place. And
Connor doesn't speak a word German.
And that's just what happens. And it's not because I was born that way or whatever. Like, it's because I learned how to do, okay, I went step by step. Okay, you're pecking, which we'll talk about that in just a second. You're drink guarding. So now, I really had to go through the process of going, oh shit, I'm drink guarding. Okay. All right, cool. You know? And then like working on that step by step. So that's awesome. You know, like it's exciting because it's really not that hard to go from this to this, but it means everything in attracting women.
I always look at it like this. When it comes to women, you probably noticed this already. There are a million ways to fuck it up. And every step that you're at, so you finish, you do something right. Then you get to the next step, you fuck that up, it's over, right? And there are a lot of steps in an interaction where you can fuck everything up in new and interesting ways every time if you want to. You know, you can invent new ways to fuck all this up. And so what you have to do is take it each step. Like, don't try to go... If you're thinking about how to get laid, like, immediately, you know, then you're not thinking right. What you need to think about is, how do I do the introduction phase properly? Like, how do I have my default body... language and like my default state to be attractive so that then I can move on to the demonstrating high value stage. If you go out and all you do is be seen by people, you know, that's all you are is just like seen by women, but you're working on your body language the whole time. It's default success. That's success. If you go out and you're like, okay, tonight, I've never done any of this shit before, but I'm going to try to go from here to deep rapport. Like, okay. You can try that, but you probably won't learn hardly anything because you'll just be like freaking out the whole time, you know? And that's okay. You can learn that way if you want to, but that's not how I did it. I didn't learn that way. I learned it one step at a fucking time. One little tiny step at a time. You don't have to learn so slowly though. I had to go, I was like, okay, there's an infinite number of things that I could try out. I guess I'll just start with what I learned in psychology class. And then I would try to like that and that didn't work. And I tried this and this wouldn't work. And I'd try a whole bunch of shit for every stage. And finally, I'd be like, holy grail. And then I'd go, that worked. Don't do that again. And then I'd try a bunch of other shit just to make sure there was nothing else that was missing. You know, you guys don't have to do that. All you have to do is listen and do what we say. And it will work. Just trust us.
We'll be able to get you, like, whatever step you're at, you go, okay, great. Next step. Next step. Next step. Next step.
Yeah, we'll never let you sit and hang out in any step. It's not. It's comfortable to do that, to be like, all right, I did it. Let me do it again and just feel good.
Yeah.
No, sorry. That's not why you're here. You're here to feel uncomfortable. Anytime you level up, we're going to be like, you leveled up. Congratulations. Next step.
Yeah.
You know, that means that you're terrible at this step. You know, that means that you were great at the last one, but now you're at this step and you're terrible here. So there's no like consolation for you. You know, we're not here to make you feel good. We're here to make you good at what you do. So it's definitely not the same thing.